Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 6th of August. Our news today, we go to Indiana for the news. IndyStar.com has just posted this report. Dateline, Elkhart, Indiana, about 2,000 people in the county hit hard by job losses in the struggling RV manufacturing industry, jammed a town hall meeting this morning to hear Senator Barack Obama explain his economic and energy plans. But as much of the focus was also on the Indiana man who was next to Obama, Senator Evan Bayh. Speculation has been rampant that Bayh could be Obama's pick for vice president, and that announcement could come as soon as today. The reason they're saying this is that both of them flew into town, into Indianapolis last night about 6:30, and Obama is staying until late this afternoon. So we thought that we would look at Indiana, look at Bayh, and also expand our conversation to other possible vice presidential picks by Obama. Bayh is considered to be a moderate Democrat. Is that who Obama needs? And also, looking at the state of Indiana, which is leaning, of course, according to news reports on cable shows last night, slightly to McCain, it is amazing the number of times that Obama has been in the state. It is amazing the number of campaign offices that he has set up. He expects to open 25 to 30, and according to what I've read, McCain has yet to open an office in Indiana. So we'll look at all of these issues this hour of the program. I'm sure we'll get a lot of phone calls, and we're happy to have Professor Robert Browning, who's professor of political science at Purdue University, joining us. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050, or you can always send an email, and that address is talk@wpr.org. Professor Robert Browning, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you.
So is Indiana wild about Bayh, and would the country be wild about him?
Well, Indiana certainly would. I think the country is still meeting Evan Bayh. He's run for president earlier this year and dropped out. So I don't think the country is as familiar with him, but and that happened maybe a long time ago when Dan Quayle was chosen. The country didn't know much about Dan Quayle, and they swarmed the state looking for any piece of information they could get.
Right. What is all this speculation? Is it just because people want something to talk about? But we're down to, well, Obama's going to be in Indiana from 6:30 last night until 3:30 this afternoon. It must mean Bayh is his pick.
Yeah, it is kind of a crazy season.
I mean, right.
The election process went so long, and with the cable news networks and all of the media, with that it became a continuous story. And so now that then the story was, Obama Clinton, and now the story is every night looking at the different candidates. So it's become a full-time exercise. Also, what I mentioned with the Quayle episode is that candidates are more vetted today. So by having their names out, it allows any group that has an issue, whether it's an abortion rights group or a labor group, to bring their issues to the fore. And then, that way they can get rid of those kind of problem candidates. That's why, in a way, the candidates feed it themselves. They put out names. They invite the speculation.
Right. And Bayh has certainly done that, hasn't he? I don't think he's going to pick me today, but he doesn't seem to be reluctant to the possibility of being the candidate.
That's right. And other accounts, I think the Wall Street Journal has a big story this morning on that, and say, this is his third spot, third chance at number two. So he's been vetted before and looked at before. So he's maybe one of these perennial number two choices.
Mm-hmm. Somebody called him the do-no-harm possibility here. Is that fair to him?
Well, somewhat, yes. He's always been sort of a safe candidate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to when he was governor. He was very popular as governor, and he And he really built the Democratic Party back in the state after many years of Republican control. But he governed safely. I mean, he did move to the middle, and it has a lot in common with Bill Clinton that way. But as a senator, he doesn't have very many enemies. Now, sometimes that people come back and say, well, you know, does he stand for anything? Can you be in politics and be in the middle all the time? So that's, but it is safe. I think Obama is still kind of defining himself to a lot of America, and because even his career is very short term, and as we approach this convention, I mean, a lot of attention in the next 2 weeks, he will devote to how he introduces himself in that major speech. So he doesn't want anyone who's going to detract from the message that he's going to build. So he wants a sort of there are certain things we could talk about that he needs in a vice president, but he wants someone who's not going to detract in any way from the message he wants to deliver.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe, Biden has been described as a moderate Democrat. A couple questions here. Do you think that Obama, because he's been tagged as a liberal, although he's changed positions on some issues, would you say that Obama, because of his image, needs a, quote, moderate Democrat, and is Biden that moderate Democrat?
Yes, although if you watch the primaries, you would say that Biden needs someone to bring the traditional Democrats back into the fold. Mm. He needs the Clinton delegate, the Clinton voters. Now, Biden is close to Clinton, and he campaigned for Clinton, and he and so some people think that's a strength. But he is what we call of the Clinton era DNC, a DLC, Democratic Leadership right. Council. Democrat, where they move to the middle. And it's hard to say that that's exactly what Obama needs, because he really needs those traditional labor Democrats. Now, to some extent, the DLC policies alienate that group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, when Biden was running for president, he got criticism because he was moving to the left. And that's what happens when people run in the primaries, because the group voters, the left group voters, the organized labor, education groups like that dominate. So now he's moving back to the center. Now, Biden did the same kind of thing for a very short time, because he wasn't in the race very long. So it's almost, as you said before, kind of a do no harm bring.
Mm-hmm.
He does bring some things to the ticket that could help, but Obama does have a kind of a challenge as he looks across this field and decides, what does he need, you know, on the ticket.
Right. It seems to me kind of strange, Professor Browning, that you could pick somebody who wasn't for you during this long primary. Doesn't that seem strange?
Well, I mean, the ultimate was, you know, John Kennedy choosing Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
And I had always thought, going, that people would say, as they always do, you know, how would you choose in this year? And because we've had such a tight electoral race for, you know, going back to, you know, Bush in 2000, the electoral states make a big difference. So that's what choosing Johnson brought Texas. So the question is, how do you change the formula? Can you bring by choosing an Ohio person, bring that into the mix? So that's very important. Now, so there's been this dance with Clinton. It's more of it's not really a dance, because they haven't asked each other. They just kind of say, well, maybe we would go together, but nobody was really serious. I don't think anybody was serious about that. So those voters are very important. So courting them in some way, although that's always, you know, very important. If you people say where it would loyalties be, and so choosing somebody who's opposed to you, it often raises that question. But Biden's always been considered kind of a loyalist who's not going to undercut somebody. So I don't think he's probably of the Clinton supporters the safest one to choose.
Right. I was amazed to read the number of campaign offices that Obama plans to open. He already has 18 as of Monday, expects to open 25 to 30. McCain, is this right, has yet to open an office in Indiana? Why not?
Well, Indiana was always safe for the Republicans.
Huh.
I mean, this state has only voted Republican, Democratic in 1934 and 1964.
Hmm.
So these are big, these were to be big races, big landslides. So nobody would expect Indiana to, the Republicans could take it for granted and the Democrats ignored it. Two things happened this year. One was that the primary, Indiana has a late primary. The primaries went very late to the end, so there was a lot of tension in the end towards any state. And so Indiana got attention that way. Evan Bayh has a great influence in the Democratic Party. Campaign offices are not that expensive in a sense because you can get a lot of volunteers. It is a throwback to an earlier era. I mean, you could go through campaigns and someone would say, oh, how do I get a bumper sticker or whatever, and you don't know where to go. You have to go to the local Democratic Party and hope that they sent some into the state. But this is a way to energize the voters. It could be distracting to McCain because he can't take the state for granted. If they think with Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, that it's a good a group of states there, and that by in between those states with next to Illinois could help bring Ohio and the Midwestern values. Mm-hmm. It is an unusual thing, but it shows that as they like to say now, Indiana's in play, and it does show kind of the mix up. And if you could bring, with as tight as it is, if you could bring those votes over, it just changes the equation.
Right. But Obama chose Elkhart, Indiana for his town hall meeting today. Tell me why he chose that part of Indiana. What's going on there?
Well, it's close to Illinois. He is heading into a slow period for Obama where he's going to take some time to spend with his family and to write his speech, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Elkhart is a state, is a part of the state in the northern area that identifies with the sort of Rust Belt, lose jobs moving out of the state. And there's been some industry there, campers, trailers been made there for years. And so it sort of lets them showcase these economic issues. It's a stopover. It is in this time kind of unusual as people were looking to spend that much time in one place. But so you could, and so that leads to two speculations. One is that the rampant speculation would be that they would take off in some plane today, unless they made the announcement in Elkhart, but they would go to Bayh's hometown and make the announcement. And that's what fueled a lot of speculation. And the second is that there are time set aside for some one-on-one meetings where the candidate, the Obama, can tell whether he's comfortable with Bayh and look at if the staffers want to interview him in more detail, look at records and paper, that they can do that. So those are the two kinds of things. Normally that's not done that way. The candidate would return to his home base and they would bring the VP candidates to him. That's what Mondale did in Minnesota, Bush in Texas, that type of stuff. So it is a little bit unusual, and it led to that speculation, and you could say, well, maybe they were a little bit shrewd because it gives, like this program itself,
exactly,
lots of people exposure. And if somebody says, oh, no, he's not going to be good because of such and such, or it allows his own people to go out and tell why he's a good choice.
Do you expect an announcement today, Professor Browning?
Oh, I think I think we would know by now.
Hmm.
I mean, because the window for getting the national press, unless it was something that they had as a venue in Elkhart where they could, because they do have an event scheduled. But since the Quayle announcement, it hasn't been that kind of a big surprise. I mean, that's what Bush, George H.W. Bush, pulled Quayle, you know, out in a rally, and it was a big surprise. And that's not the modern way. I mean, after that, there was just too much of a frenzy. So I would expect that it would sort of be a press conference. You know, it will probably be before the convention, because that's been the speculation. The pattern, it fills that gap, because then people could talk about that more. And you know, the idea is to keep yourself in the news, keeping the stories positive.
Right. What's Quayle doing now?
Well, he moved to Arizona. He was teaching there at a university there, a University of Phoenix, which does a lot of online courses. But he's kind of his family always had strong roots there in the Indianapolis Star newspaper in the Arizona Republic, and so he's kind of started a post presidential candidate, post vice presidential career as sort of just a professor, a teacher, and stays kind of low in the news.
We welcome phone calls, and we'll take them in just a moment. Our guest this hour is Professor Robert Browning, professor of political science at Purdue University. We're talking about vice presidential possibilities for Senator Barack Obama. The press all in a flurry yesterday, a lot of blogs saying that, well, he's spending a whole lot of time in Indiana, flying in last night and there until late today. It indicates to us that Evan Bayh might be on the very short list, and who knows, there might be an announcement today that it will be Evan Bayh. So we are talking about not only Evan Bayh, but looking at whether or not Obama has a chance of winning Indiana. What kind of candidate? Should it be a moderate Democrat? Should it be a Democrat who appeals more to the populist base of the Democratic Party? Or who should it be? So we're talking about all of that this hour. And welcome to your phone calls. Join us. We haven't talked politics in a while here. 800-486-8655 is the number. 800-486-8655. If you happen to be joining us in Milwaukee, that line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Or if you'd like to send an email, you could do that at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Professor Robert Browning, professor of political science at Purdue University, is our guest. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, we'll be speaking with a science correspondent for Reason magazine who says that former Vice President Gore's challenge to produce 100% of our electricity from renewable energy and carbon-free sources within 10 years needs to be examined. Who's going to pay, he asks, for this marvelous no-carbon energy future, and how much will it cost? All right, let's go to phone calls for our guest, Professor Robert Browning, professor of political science at Purdue University. A couple lines are open, 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Bill from Prairie du Sac is our first caller. Hi, Bill.
Howdy.
Hi.
Just a couple of quick comments. Out here in the countryside, if you talk to people who claim to be moderates, and you say to them, are you going to vote for a black man? They say no. So you're going to have to get a vice president that can bring in voters from outside the Democratic area. You just got to get some people who normally don't vote or who are independent. And I think Chuck Hagel or somebody like that has got to be the person out there. Listen off the air.
Why would they, if you ask that question, then if you ask why wouldn't you vote for a black man, what's the answer?
I don't bother. It comes down to, you know, is it bigotry or is it the way people feel? In the voting booth, they go with how they feel. Mm-hmm. It's not rational. In the end, it's an emotional thing.
Professor Browning.
Well, that's a perceptive comment that you could argue that the racial divides are so deep that those traditional Democratic voters can't be pulled in. What Obama has done is excited his base, has expanded the base of the young people. And what this caller is suggesting is that it's in the independents in pulling away McCain, weak Republican voters. So a crossover. And as we watch, if McCain has sort of bad days or bad times in debates or whatever, then people who are Republicans start to say, is there an alternative? And so that's what this caller is saying. He needs that kind of person. Now, Bi, in some sense, could fit that because he's been, you know, by being safe and middle of the road, he doesn't stand, you know, on one side or the other of that sort. So he's kind of a neutral person in that regard.
And he talked about Hagel. It would be hard for me to imagine a Democratic presidential candidate putting a Republican senator in the number two spot, but I don't know. Maybe it could happen.
It's unusual. If you can just watch Joe Lieberman, who has sort of been being sort of disowned by his party,
right.
And so the convention is still the last hurrah for the excitable party voters. And it's also then the exposure to the rest of the country who say, oh, well, let me tune in tonight and sort of see what this guy is saying because his speeches are considered, you know, such big events. But to bring a Republican in to that Democratic fold at that convention time is that kind of shakes things up a bit too much.
Right. And when you look at it, the only issue that he really seems to be solidly with Obama on is the war, right? He remains a fairly conservative fellow on a lot of issues.
Correct. And the war is sort of changing by day under their feet, in a sense. And so that issue is a little less important than it was 6 months ago to have someone to balance on that.
Right. Thanks, Bill, for your call. We have lines open if you'd like to join us. The number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Michael from Madison is next. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
Well, I wondered if he could explain what the rationale is for the nominee to select the VP candidate. I'm wondering if there was ever a time when the party base selected the VP, and just curious what the main rationale is now for the nominee to select it, if it's mainly a personality thing or what.
There was a time or two, and I'm trying to recall exactly what year, when in order to give the convention something to do and to energize the rank and file, the nominees, you know, sort of threw it open to the convention. Today we're in an era, and we've been in an era for, say, since almost the Nixon period, of candidate-centered campaigns, where it's the candidate rather than the party that dominates. And so, in fact, it was the result of the Democratic reforms where, in the 1968 convention, the party chose the delegates, say, when Senator Kennedy was killed. And so now delegates have to be pledged to the nominee so that the nominee is assured of the nomination, and that party people can't. That's what the superdelegates came in to sort of balance that off. So it's really the candidate, and therefore to allow that uncertainty. I mean, right now, Obama could not risk that because of the number of Hillary Clinton delegates at the convention. In fact, there was a lot of speculation, and there still is, exactly on how, whether her name goes into nomination, whether she withdraws it, because they can't afford to let that distract and to allow all the people to stand up and say, we vote, the great state of such votes for the, you know, first woman president. and that takes his message away. So it's really a sort of a, crassly, it's a big advertising candidate for the product, you know, the presidential candidate.
And is she out of the picture?
Yes. You know, the big debate now is what, you know, how her speech is cast and things of that sort. And but there's just been nothing. I mean, you would argue that she doesn't need to be vetted, so to speak, because everybody knows everything about her. But on the other hand, it's just not in the cards.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Michael, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. We go to Chris from Glendale next. Hi, Chris.
I have a question for the political science professor. For years, I've heard a comment during different discussions, and the comment usually is, we tend to get the kind of elected officials we deserve. Do you know who originally said this?
No, I'll have to do some research on that. I'm not familiar. I know the quote, everybody uses that, but I don't know where it originates.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go down the list of some of the other mentioned candidates. Joseph Biden.
Joseph Biden brings a lot of depth in foreign policy experience. He's been in the Senate since like 1972. I mean, longer than, as they say, many voters have been alive. He would bring depth in foreign policy. The problem with Biden is that it's hard to keep him on message. He tends to talk.
And he does talk, doesn't he?
And the result of that is that you can sometimes say some things, often say some things that just, you know, that become stories in their own. So I think that he got a lot better points this year than he ever did before. Other people say, well, he could be a foreign, you know, he could be a Secretary of State or something of that sort. But I don't see him being selected.
I kind of like his I'm not saying that I'm supporting him for anything, but I like his passion about issues, don't you? He's on the television way too much, but he knows what he's talking about usually, and he's just got this, you know, great concern about whatever the issue happens to be. You know that he cares about it.
Yes, he's enthusiastic that way, but it's such a contrast between the sort of the careful Evan By. I mean, if you read the Wall Street Journal this morning in their little profile, I mean, they quote someone who ran against him saying that he thought when By sweated during the debate, he thought, wow, I really got to him, because he's considered a non-emotional type of person. And that's quite a contrast to Joe Biden, but it's really got to be about Obama.
Right. Let's go to Susan from Baraboo. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, I understand, and it seems pretty clear that Obama isn't interested in having Hillary as a running mate. But I'm an Obama person all the way. I saw yesterday when President Clinton was asked about is Obama ready to lead, and he hedged. I mean, just dramatically.
He sure did.
It was awful to see.
Uh huh.
And so it struck me that, you know, I'm really counting on Obama to be this uniter and someone who can talk to Ahmadinejad. You know, he can go into the dark dens of the axis of evil and talk to those people. And I'm concerned that he hasn't shown that same ability with the Clintons.
Well, some people would say, "Why? What is this caller saying in terms of making the comparison between the dark den?"
But what I'm saying is,
yes.
What I like about Obama, one of the things that, and I've liked him for a long time, but I'm concerned that he hasn't shown this ability to be conciliatory with the Clintons, to bring them in, to use them to, you know, patch up whatever needs to be patched up. And I think that might be a mistake. And I wanted to see something more from him in a way that's more collaborative.
Well, I mean, if you You're correct in looking at the foreign policy that Obama has gotten the criticism for saying that he would meet with certain world leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you should infer, take too much from that. I think other people would come back and say maybe the blame is with the Clintons. I mean, in the mm-hmm. sense that her speech on the night that Obama effectively
yes.
clinched the nomination wasn't considered conciliatory,
yes.
and the statement by President Clinton yesterday, you could read, okay, well, he's still ticked,
yeah.
or he's making it difficult. So, Obama has a very fine line. Yes, the Clinton voters would like to see Obama make some more gestures, but you know, what are they going to be happy with? Less than Clinton at the top of the ticket or number two,
mm-hmm.
and so he's got a. He's got a tough. It's very tough, and it could be that your domestic enemies, so to speak, or your domestic combatants are more difficult to deal with than your international combatants.
Right, and I understand that, you know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we hear that there's been just one phone call, and, you know, who knows if that's true. But I was just really, it just struck me that I want this man to be a consensus mm-hmm. builder, to be collaborative, and I'm not seeing that with the Clintons. So, you know,
of course, you know, we can go back to the 19, Jimmy Carter, when he was challenged by Kennedy, and at the end of the convention, Carter, you know, effectively
tried to shake his hand.
Yes, yeah. Chased him across the podium,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, Obama. Well, they know from that, and they'll say, "No, he's going to be—he's the nominee. He's not going to chase this number two, this second person who's got this following, and make himself look less." So it's
and
a
then
tough
Carter
one.
Returned that favor of not shaking Bush's hand. Right, but yes, and I do understand these are, you know, it's a complicated issue, but I just thought, oh gosh, I really wanted to see him be collaborative.
There's a lot to all of that. I'm not sure you're going to see that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still my guy.
He's still your guy. All right. Thanks, Susan.
You bet.
Uh-huh. Bye. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Professor Robert Browning is our guest. He is in the political science department where he teaches at Purdue University. And we are talking about Senator Obama spending so much time in Indiana today, speculation that he was going to announce that Senator Evan Bayh would be his running mate because he was there for such a long period of time. So we're looking at the running mates, the possibility of running mates, and the fact that Obama evidently sees this state as a possibility to go in the Democratic column because he has opened so many campaign offices. McCain has opened very few, perhaps forcing McCain to spend money in the state of Indiana. And we're asking what you think in a larger sense about the kind of person who needs to be the vice presidential pick. Does it need to be a moderate kind of Democrat like Bayh? Should it be somebody who will appeal to the Democratic base that move the conversation a little bit more to the left during the primary? Are there people you would like to suggest here? And we welcome your phone calls. So give us a ring. We'll be with you again in a moment. We also have this email deal that you can use. So that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Professor Robert Browning, professor of political science at Purdue University, is our guest, and we go next to Peter from Madison. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Just a comment on a wonderful conversation, by the way. You know, it seems to me that we are so much yearning to see change in this country. We love so much. We love this republic and all of what it stands for in terms of morality and its principles. And we've seen 8 years of total destruction of that, and our moral ground is at as low as I can imagine, with the torture and the lies and everything else. And we really want to see change. And my sense is that we're definitely getting behind Obama, but my sense is that we're sort of building most of his image for him. I'm very disappointed in many of the positions he's taken. Still supporting him because we do want to see that change, and particularly a person of color. I think that would send a tremendous message to the world that we are about to change. But very disappointed in him in many of his positions. He talks about change, and yet some of these policies that he's articulated are really not change at all. A perfect example is the policy in Cuba. He's stated clearly that he supports the embargo, etc. And yet we have no choice. I think we cannot go with the status quo. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, we do know that in after the nomination is over, the candidates move to the center, and so they're not going to take extreme positions. The Cuba position is very important in the Florida area, which is a very important state. But so Obama will be very careful on that issue. So I'm not sure. In some ways, you need to evaluate the kind of leadership characteristics, the personal characteristics of the candidates. And the specifics of issues are going to change so much. I just don't think that you're going to have the two major candidates of the centrist parties come out with what you might call big change positions. So if people will criticize and say change, what does that mean? And you might not find the policies as much as it's a psychological appeal that we're going to move forward and things of that sort, and people can be disappointed by saying, I don't see any specifics, but that's sort of going to be the nature of the message, and that was the criticisms throughout the candidate. The primary where Hillary was a much more policy-specific person, and Obama was not, and I think you'll see that continuing.
Here's a fun email from Bill from Sun Prairie. Professor Browning, why not start an apprentice Dancing with the Stars style competitive show for television to select the VPs? The benefits: the viewing audience would become informed as they discuss their qualifications and issues. It would be a huge moneymaker, and it would be entertaining.
Well, I think there was something I caught on one of them. The blur between politics and entertainment is like virtually gone. And the evening shows and the Leno and Daily Show are so important in sort of giving images. But there was a scene the other day I saw of Dan Quayle appearing on Dancing with the Stars or something of that sort. So that's probably what the caller is discussing. Plus the whole kind of circus atmosphere of this, that which is why the candidate can't let it get out of control. And it's possible that if speculation runs too rampant, then the candidate puts out some message, you know, to sort of steer it the other way, saying, well, we're not, you know, this person's not under serious consideration or some other. And this whole thing could be a diversion in order to let them, you know, spend time looking at, say, another candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Peter, for your call. We go to Bob from Sparta next. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, I've been noticing by the calls that the questions are really founded in emotion, and I just wonder what the professor makes of that.
Yes, there. I mean, it's in response to the last, the last question about change. It is emotion. It is what candidate helps allows me to feel good about where the country is going. It's not always a rational kind of let's weigh the pluses and minuses of this, you know, of this candidate. Many voters vote based on their party identification, which is fixed kind of early in life, and they look at everything through those eyes, and so. And so the kind of things of, and just looking at the whole, you know, people said Bill Clinton wouldn't choose Al Gore because they were too much alike. Well, that kind of a like image of young and energetic, whatever, gave, you know, gave them kind of a push.
I'm kind of wondering if there isn't a big risk as far as, you know, disappointment or disillusion also might enter into that. Might be a great danger.
Well, yeah, except that the vetting process is pretty intense. I mean, George McGovern chose a candidate and then dropped him, and we're never going to have that situation again. So that's instant no surprise. So yes, they're doing polling on lots of things, but I don't think we're going to have an empty or a mistake candidate. It's it comes down to a lot of image, and I think that's what they're looking at as well.
Thanks, Bob, for your call. Diane from Green Bay, hi.
Good morning. I would like to ask Professor Browning this question. A campaign has been so long and has focused so intently on the two major presidential candidates that I'm wondering at this time if the selection of a vice president is going to make any difference at all in how voters make their choice in the at the poll.
Well, it does at the margins, and in these very close elections, it can at the margins. So if a buy brings in the electoral votes from Indiana and helps bring in electoral votes from Ohio, then it makes a big difference. So it is, in a close election like this, very important. But again, as we said earlier, in a long process like this, this is just one more thing to fill up all the space and give people a time to talk and vet the candidates.
Do you think it will ever go back to campaigns that don't last for 2 years or longer?
Well, you know, the British system and other countries have a very short period of time. No, I don't. The Democratic Party has to deal with the spacing of the campaigns, but in terms of the primaries, which stretch it further and further back. But no, I think it's something that's here to stay. I mean, we have this media cycle, we've got this space to fill up, and it's just too easy to cover it rather than to ignore it.
It has been going on so long, hasn't it? So long.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yes.
We're all getting tired of it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for the call. If we were doing this show on Indiana Public Radio, how do you imagine the calls would be different? Would we get a lot of support for Evan Bayh, do you think?
Yes. I mean, there's always sort of the native son favor. But, I mean, he will have his detractors. It's a solid Republican state, and so there's people who in the solid Republican camp who will criticize him. But, you know, by winning Indiana, the thing to remember is that he had to bring those moderate Republicans, the leaning, the independents and leaning Republicans who could switch away. And that's why, you know, they look at him as that kind of a candidate. So, yes, there would be the hardcore Republicans who would say he didn't do anything, da 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 da, and there would also be the kind of the rally effect of support.
Right, Gloria from Madison. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, I wanted to ask the professor about Governor Kaine from Virginia, who is also on the short list. I understand. I was surprised to find that Governor Kaine is opposed to abortion, and given surprised and dismayed, I might say, and given what I believe to be Senator Obama's principles on this, which I feel he is certainly pro-choice as opposed to Senator McCain, I was unhappy to see that he might pick a VP with these kinds of dealings. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I haven't seen much speculation and discussion on that yet, but that could be, I mean, that is one of the reasons why this process goes on. That's one of the reasons why they have to weigh whether that difference of position helps bring in other voters or whether it alienates a core group and lets, and even if people are less enthusiastic, but they would still vote for Obama, that's a negative because that means they're not talking the candidate up to their friends. So that's why the vetting process, that's why someone like Bai is being looked at more carefully, because he doesn't bring any of those kinds of negatives.
Because he doesn't bring what?
And those kinds of negatives,
You
know. And somebody straight down the center in a way that you can't find anything to criticize on. Is going to be a safer choice than someone who, where, and that issue, I mean, everybody, there's always going to be a few things, but something as volatile as that issue with a core constituency of the Democratic Party is a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anybody you're wild about, Gloria?
No.
No.
As a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it makes any difference?
The VP?
Yes.
Yes. I've got to say, I haven't thought too much about it. I guess I don't think it makes a lot of difference. But I do think we got to get a good person in there in case something happens to Obama, because we've seen that vice presidents do become presidents.
Right.
So I think that's important. And, you know, I really... trust Obama to pick somebody that's going to be helpful to him politically and that would also be a good person. So I think we have plenty of those candidates around, but I would not feel comfortable with a president who, and I feel that most of the country, Republican and Democratic, are pro-choice, would not feel comfortable with that.
Thanks, Gloria.
Thank you.
Let's go to Patty from Milwaukee. Hello, Patty.
First of all, my first comment is that I think that this idea that, you know, Obama is a good speaker but loose on the issues is something that seems to have stuck, but I don't see McCain having some big, you know, fancy issue platform that I'm attracted to either. So why has that stuck? I just don't agree with it. I think it's ridiculous. And I think that the reason I do it is because they know they kind of have to go after Obama's personality and him as a person, because they know they're going to lose on the issues.
Well, some of it was the contrast between Hillary Clinton and Obama in the campaigns, because their styles and their approaches were so different, their speeches. And so you could find almost it's a classic, and Bill Clinton was like that too, kind of a laundry list of issues. The Clintons were considered policy wonks, to use that phrase, where Obama came on so suddenly with this broad brush. And so that's where that came from, and it has stuck. Now, once we start contrasting with McCain, you're going to see different kinds. You're seeing a different kind of emphasis. I mean, you're going to see more and more about age, and McCain cannot afford to have foreign policy gaffes, because then that takes away from his experience versus Obama's.
Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for the call. One more quick email, and then we're out of time. Aaron from Green Bay. I think Obama needs a moderate as a running mate. He's very liberal. Conservatives see him as far to the left. I think he'll be more palatable to those who are not necessarily liberal, but those that just don't want another 4 years of Bush light if he picks a more moderate VP.
That's a very interesting observation. I mean, both of them are going to... I mean, McCain is being criticized for being too close to Bush. Obama, though, his change message, sort of a middle candidate helps with that more than an extreme candidate, because that takes away from his sort of being able to paint his big picture.
Professor Browning, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be interested in following the rest of the day in Indiana to see what happens.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you. Bye. Professor Robert Browning, who's a professor of political science at Purdue University, and will follow the events in Indiana during the course of the day. Our conversation fueled by speculation that Senator Obama was spending a great deal of the day in Indiana today because he was going to announce Evan Bayh as his running mate. So far, that has not happened, and Bayh told the Indianapolis Star that Obama had not asked him to be his running mate and that he is not expecting Obama to announce his vice presidential pick when the senator is in Indiana today. But it certainly has given us a lot to talk about. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. Thanks to John Anderson for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thank you, everybody, for all of your calls. They were terrific, as they always are. It's terrific to talk to such an engaged audience. I'm Kathleen Dunn. News ahead will return on the Ideas Network.